Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe back on the podcast here. Marcus Grant filling in admirably for me there. You know, it's the first time anyone has ever described my voice as raspy.
Well, it had been raspy recently.
It had been.
That Bon Jovi-induced injury.
Not normally, but in recent weeks it had been raspy.
So, but you drop that and I start thinking to myself, I'm like, is my voice raspy? Is it? I never knew.
No, it's very soothing.
James Coe was up late at night, had the projector on, watching old cut-ups of Tuesdays.
Exactly.
Is that raspy?
Is that raspy? Yes, Alex Gelhart, the whiz kid from Wisconsin behind the glass there. And the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fe- Oh, wait a second.
Is that Adam Rank's
Hit
music?
My music!
The sound of shattering glass. Out comes Adam Rank. Out of the doldrums, out of the shadows, from the back.
It is like when one of the WWE legends just returns.
Right.
Although, yeah, it's got to be somebody who's been off camera. It's not like a CM Punk return. And really, I'm doing this for Jeff Brand, who's going to be taking a drink every time we drop a wrestling reference.
I saw that tweet.
CM Punk, Mick Foley, Blue World Order, Tommy Dreamer, Paul Heyman.
And he's dead.
Somebody might want to take the keys from.
Great show in front of us here today, of course, with Adam Rank joining in. Michael Fabiano is actually under the weather. He's going to be gone until about Friday. I don't think he's doing the Friday podcast.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. Even if he feels good enough, I'll probably tell him to rest. He has bronchitis right now,
bronchitis,
if you
folks.
See on Twitter. So his doctor was like, you need to go lay down for like 4 days.
We will talk about fantasy trust falls. We'll talk about guys like C.J. Anderson, Eddie Lacy, Todd Gurley. You know, can these guys have – I mean, obviously C.J. Anderson broke out, but for the most part, they have struggled this year. Can you trust them moving forward? We'll talk about some guys that you may have some trust issues with. We'll, of course, talk about on this Tuesday waiver wires as well. Daily Daps coming at the end of the show, top headlines. But first, let's talk about Monday Night Football. What a crazy game that was. What a crazy game.
I mean, I was entertained.
It was.
Are you not entertained?
It wasn't the greatest of football, but I was entertained.
It was a weird cast of characters out there, especially at the end of the game. It's like,
yeah.
Who are these guys?
Yes.
Is this an NFL game here? It felt like the Replacements running out there just playing football, but no,
you know what
it was a great end of the game.
Yeah, you know what it was like if you're similar to me and you stay up late on Saturday nights watching Mountain West football.
Okay.
Or some of those small. It's like Nevada playing host to San Jose, just playing a crazy game that's really entertaining, and you know that most of the world
no one's seeing.
Nobody else is watching.
No one else is seeing this game.
You're totally solo. You want to go into work the next morning and talk about it, and everybody's like, yeah, I'm not staying up for that.
Yeah, I hear you. No, it was a crazy game. If you missed it, it was a field goal try for the win from the Browns. It was then blocked by the Ravens, scooped and scored for the game winner.
I don't know what, you know, if that's so Browns or that's so Raven. Like, I just can't figure out which one that falls in the category of.
Oh,
I feel like that's more Browns, probably.
I just wanted to say that's so Raven. I was just about to say, I thought you were just going to keep going down that road.
Just keep going. So now that I've gotten that out of my system.
33-27, your final, by the way.
I was going to say, if the Browns ever make the Super Bowl, which probably will never happen.
No.
That's how I would imagine it would end.
Block, kick, field goal, scoop and score, six for the win. Wow. I mean, it's funny, too, because it was such a crazy ending. Mike Tirico didn't even know how to properly call it. He called a pick six for the win. I'm like, I don't believe that would be a pick six.
Would it be like a kick six, maybe?
A kick six?
I saw block off used on Twitter.
Ooh, see, block off is nice.
Yeah,
block
off kick is nice. Six was Alabama Auburn from 2 years ago.
Right.
Yes, that's true. Kick six.
All right. I don't know what to make of it. Anyways, it was a crazy game. Overall, we had some interesting fantasy stat lines here. Matt Schaub, I don't believe anybody would have played Matt Schaub.
You really had to be in a bad way if you were starting Matt Schaub.
That is danger zone to the max right there. 232 and two touchdowns, two interceptions. Overall, a decent game if you played him in one of those deep leagues. Josh McCown, just 212 yards. It had a touchdown as well, but, you know.
Left early with the injury. He was a streaming option, so had he stayed in the whole game and gotten that other Austin Davis touchdown and stuff. Yeah, he would have turned in a nice day. So if we're, you know, going to just merge him with Austin Davis, he would have had about 20. He would have had 20 over 20 fantasy points. Which
Cleveland quarterback ended up with.
Right.
Have them form like Voltron and just get the points.
Very quickly, Gary Barnage, the Barnyard Dog. 7 catches, 91 yards. Good to see that. Travis Benjamin caught 6 passes for 90 yards and a touch. 42-yard variety for the score. So he was pretty much struggling big time before that. Is he the new DeSean Jackson? That's what I started thinking about yesterday. I'm like, wait a second. I know I've besmirched, using an Adam Rank term, I've besmirched the name of Travis Benjamin many times. But I'm like, wait a second. Isn't he just DeSean Jackson?
Maybe he's been able to be a little more consistent with some of his just straight yardage totals. He hasn't been... I mean, granted, most of his touchdowns have come of a longer variety, but,
right.
I mean, if you look at it, he still has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 double-digit games and one that was just shy because of a fumble loss. But he's actually a pretty good receiver. I know I was enjoying watching him play, and then earlier in the season, Harmon put him through reception perception, and he got pretty good numbers. So
you got good grades?
He got some good grades.
From Matt Harmon?
From the wide receiver whisperer.
The wide receiver whisperer from West Virginia.
And let's also not forget, he has not exactly had consistent quarterback play this season.
No.
You know, I do think, though, at the beginning of the year, I think we were kind of pigeonholing him into that DeSean Jackson deep threat sort of guy. And then, you know, when McCown really got hot is when you saw Benjamin doing a lot more than just going downfield and running those streaks.
But so, early on, wasn't it something crazy? Like he had like 6 catches for 3 touchdowns or something crazy?
Something. It was something.
And you were thinking, there's just no way.
I mean, he obviously, like a YOLO play after
right.
a while.
Well, yeah, exactly. Anyways, okay, so we move on. By the way, Buck Allen, 55 rush yards, 29 receiving yards, and a touchdown. What does that all add up to? 14 about?
Yeah, I think it was like 14.4 points he had on the day. He's gonna. It was good. It was encouraging to see him get most of the volume of the running back touches. Terrence West in his revenge game.
Revenge.
7 carries, but he wasn't used in the passing game. So. Allen is going to be a nice volume play going forward, and hopefully he can get into the end zone for people, but he'll be a solid RB too.
16 total touches with 12 carries and 4 receptions in that Mark Trestman offense.
The one thing about Buck Allen is he's got the Seahawks looming and the Steelers in week 16.
Not good.
I don't know. I'm not scared of the Steelers.
Stop it.
I mean, look, I know their FPA says something, but – when I watch them play, man, I'm not scared of them at all.
You know what it is? It's the way they play defense. And the way they attack the Seahawks is it's like they got together.
Okay.
And they said, hey, everybody, gather around, gather around.
Okay.
Adam Rank is starting Tommy Rawls. Here's what we're going to do. 18 guys in the box. Don't cover one of those receivers. What about Doug Baldwin? No. Don't cover the receiver.
Rawls thought he wanted a touchdown.
He scored like 2. No. Don't cover him anymore. I understand that Rawls, he did bail me out with that touchdown, but still, the way the Steelers were rolling in that game, it's like you guys realize you can't stop anybody through the air. Why? But, you know, they made their choice.
Their run defense is their strength, aside from just trying to shut down Adam Rank's fantasy days. They've had a lot of guys. Cameron Hayward's been playing really great on the defensive line. For some reason, James Harrison and other people just, you know, he ceases to age.
That dude's a cyborg.
And he's
ridiculous. A freaking cyborg.
So
man.
They've played really great run defense, but they can be taken to task through the
Buck Allen moving forward, how much do you like him? Is he I'm assuming he's obviously in the RB2 discussion.
I'd say low
is
end.
Is he pushing low end RB1?
No, low end RB2.
Low end RB2.
I mean, I don't know, the way guys are dropping.
Well,
right
that's
now.
True.
You know, he might
I
get
say that,
there.
But when I look at the rankings again later, I'll probably have Buck Allen quite high. That's in the war of attrition.
That's very true. But if you're somebody who, and if your waiver wire kicks you to the bottom every week instead of like it rotate, instead of it you holding on
reverse
to it,
yeah, okay,
You probably accumulated a decent amount of running backs over the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And it gives you the opportunity to mix and match. But if you're somebody who – I know in my league of record, I'm rolling with Thomas Rawls and Danny Woodhead, and I would actually like Buck Allen in that situation.
100%.
That's when I'd be like, yeah, I'm not scared of the Steelers, D. But
all right. Kamar Aiken. 10 targets, 6 catches, 80 yards and a touch. He looked pretty good. I would have a lot of faith in him moving forward. He's earned my trust.
He's going to get a lot of volume in the offense for sure.
Crockett Gilmore, who I was super high on. I know Alex Gelhar was super high on Crockett Gilmore, too. I think it's time to just cut him loose.
Given tight end, he'll still have some upside. He'll be on that very low end of the tight end one range, but it was disappointing to not see him get more volume in this game, especially with Max Williams not hanging around.
Yeah, I mean, four
targets is tough to live on.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the other thing, too, is it seems as if they're mixing in a few different tight ends as well. Crockett Gilmore's out there a lot.
Yeah,
but
I think he leads the snaps for them for sure. But you're right, Nick Boyle's getting in there, and Max Williams was at times. And, of course, Kyle Juszczyk is there in the backfield stealing some targets. So.
Exactly. So, I don't know. I think look, if you're trying to hold on to – I was holding on to him thinking about volume play, possibly just – maybe Matt Schaub just feeds the guy. But
he has before in his old offenses in Texans
– right.
With the Texans and stuff. So I don't think – you don't need to necessarily cut ties with him, but don't be deploying him every week.
You talk about the running back position being thinned out. What about the tight end position? I mean, two guys who are the top two picks at the tight end position, I got to imagine.
Jimmy Graham was the second one.
So there's a lot of people scrambling on the waiver wire, and Scott Chandler might end up being the first one scooped up, depending on how deep your waiver wire is. Crockett Gilmore is still somebody who's going to be available, and the one thing with tight ends is it's very easy for that position to go feast or famine. You go bagel one week, and
right.
All of a sudden Dennis Pitta has
two touchdowns
or something like that. So I would actually be encouraged that Gilmore did nothing against the Browns. You're like, okay, well then – the market correction's going to come, and he's going to have just a dumb game against somebody. And really, at this point of the season, with that position, you're rolling the dice on a lot of.
Of course, games. Adam Rank would be encouraged by the fact that Crockett Gilmore does nothing.
That's it. I'm the guy who walks by the roulette table and sees like, oh, they've had 5 reds in a row. Let me empty my bank account, waiting for the black one to come up.
Oh, and the Heartline Bling. That can only mean one thing.
He wanted to get into the end zone. Why didn't you get into the end zone, Brian Hartline?
That's a win for the danger zone. 7.4.
8 for 74 has got to be
pretty good.
7.4. That's it. He's on the composite.
Yeah.
He was also shoved in the end. He was going to be open, and I forget the Raven who did it, but a Raven just literally shoved him to the ground. And so I can't even think of who the quarterback was at this point, but I think it was probably still McCown, but whoever then had to scramble around. It's like he was the target and you're like, oh my God. Cause I had the danger zone tweet ready to go.
Right.
I had superimposed Maverick's face on the Drake and I was going to do the Heartline Bling danger zone.
Well, he also caught that one inside the 5 where he just stumbled and fell.
Oh, yeah.
That I thought he was going to just back into the end zone there, but no, he didn't.
All things aside, I mean –
you'll take that, 8 for 74.
You will though. Take it, and let's acknowledge the fact that Brian Hartline has become a bigger part of their passing game in the last few weeks.
Gosh, I would hope so.
We didn't hear from him much all year. It was all about Travis Benjamin, but lately Brian Hartline has kind of been a thing.
I guess I'll ask you guys, not that you trust him at all, but I'm assuming he becomes the number 2 there. I know the injuries have opened the door for him, but he's not that far removed from back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, right?
I guess he's the number 2. I mean, sort of by default. I don't know. It's one of those things where there are teams where
– you've seen Peter Gabriel play, and Peter Gabriel –
He's already had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, but last year he had – 474
yards. Yeah, he was no good last year. But he did have back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, though. So I'm saying at least he's a reliable receiver, a reliable number 2 option, or a reliable number 3 option, I guess, behind Benjamin and the Barnyard.
Well, I mean, if we're looking at his recent run of success, as Marcus is saying, he's had just over 23% of all the passing targets the past 3 weeks. So that's a pretty high volume there
that
for
is.
Him. But we'll see.
Okay,
I mean, he
we'll
might
see.
Be a name to circle in deeper leagues.
Yeah, I think in deeper leagues he's at least worth a look, man. All right, let's get to the top headline, shall we?
Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
All right, the first headline out of New England, of course, Rob Gronkowski, the Gronk, potentially missing a few weeks, maybe only one, maybe none. I don't know. That depends on
it's
what
you're...
It's
very up in the air.
Yes, it's very up in the air. But no structural damage, at least according to NFL media insider Ian Rappaport, who has that info from a team source. So Gronk, I don't know, maybe misses a game. And I would imagine he misses at least one game because you got to think, New England versus Philadelphia, I think they can take care of business without Rob Gronkowski, so there's really no need to rush him through, right?
They're not going to rush him through. I mean, for the Patriots, their concern is just making sure he's ready for the playoffs.
Right.
You know, same with Julian Edelman. So in that respect, yeah, they're not going to rush him. I mean, for those of us who have Rob Gronkowski on our fantasy rosters and are looking to make a playoff spot, please come back soon.
Sorry about your luck.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that's how it's going to be. Now, from a football perspective, I'm not sure that all is well there in New England. I know the Eagles' defense has been terrible, but...
Bad, man.
You look
bad.
You look at that game on Sunday night, and the Patriots scored 3 touchdowns in the game. 2 of them came on fairly short fields.
Right.
And you do just wonder, with not much of a running game, really with no targets, this is huge for them. That it affects Tom Brady, it affects pretty much everybody in that offense without having Gronk there.
Does it? We said this last week.
Like, I know.
Oh, he doesn't have.
He had the three touchdown passes.
Playing the best defense in the league.
I know. Three touchdown passes later.
It's Belichick. They'll get it done. Also, like the running game, I don't think the running game is hurt that much. I think they just found different ways to attack the Broncos because they only gave LeGarrette Blount the ball like 9 times last week.
Right.
So they can still turn on that running game. Both Brandon Bolden and James White can catch passes out of the backfield. Brandon LaFell is still there and a solid receiver. They'll probably call, you know, some guy in Boston and have him come suit up next week, and he'll catch 8 passes for 100
Martin.
Yards.
Keyshawn Martin, baby. Breaking news alert, Chris Harper was cut by the Patriots.
He nearly ruined their season, because if he holds on to that punt, the Patriots are up by 14, probably bleed out the clock. Gronkowski doesn't get injured. They're still undefeated. Gronkowski's still healthy. So if all he did was get cut, he should feel – no.
Wait, what? No, I didn't realize you were a Boston sports
fan. Sorry. I'm just saying what happened in that game.
Are Boston sports fans the worst?
It's so weird.
They the worst?
I've separated the Patriots from Boston sports fan. I know they're the same.
Okay.
But I've done a great job in my mind because I've been a Tom Brady fan for pretty much his whole NFL career.
Okay.
Outside of his rookie year when he wasn't playing.
Now,
not a huge fan.
Now, are you only a Brady fan because you just absolutely hate Peyton Manning?
No, that's, first of all, part of your argument is a fallacy because I don't hate Peyton Manning.
Oh, you do?
I do not.
Oh,
I hate Peyton Manning.
If he was here, you would punt him right in the nether regions.
Listen, here's the thing. I like Peyton Manning. I think his commercials are charming. he's great on Saturday Night Live. First of all, I hate Peyton Manning fans.
Okay.
That's number one.
All right.
Number two, I've just been reporting. I'm not really.
Just reporting.
It's not like I'm making something up. It's like Peyton Manning has won 1 Super Bowl in his life.
Yes.
He's been blown out in 2 other Super Bowls.
That is true.
I can't embellish that. There's nothing I can do. He doesn't play well in the playoffs. It's not – the narrative is people trying to sell him as something that he's not. He's a great regular season quarterback.
James, why did you lead him into this?
I really want to get off the subject.
I can just see him. He's heating up over there. He's getting ready.
He's heating up. Part of the reason why I'm a huge Brady fan, I can't talk about in an NFL sponsored podcast. But I will say this: it was a number of years ago when I was a young man.
Okay.
I think I I was in my 20s. I was working for NFL Publishing. I would do the Super Bowl programs.
Yes.
And so each year you had to prepare it for the 8 possible scenarios. So this guy and I would split AFC, NFC. So I had the AFC that year, and I was doing it and getting everything ready for the Patriots. I'm like, this team's really good. I think they can win. And I predicted, as probably the only like national person, the only one who predicted a Patriots.
Over the Rams?
Yes.
Got it.
Over St. Louis. The Rams didn't exist in that time. 13 and a half.
St. Louis FC.
St. Louis Football Club.
I think it was the Rams.
No. St. Louis.
Okay.
No. The LA Rams stopped in 94.
Right. Then they became
the St. Louis
Rams. This was the
St. Louis Football Club.
We don't need to get them on this rant, too. Finish
You're hitting all my wheelhouses. That should have been in the rundown. Talk about Peyton Manning.
Right.
Talk about the St. Louis Football Club. And there's your 45 minutes.
We'll okay, boom. Here. Gone.
So that's why I was kind of supporting Brady for all those years. Because I made a prediction that came through.
So, okay.
And it's that simple. And I was.
I like it. Hey, why not?
I was at a Super Bowl party, and there was. It was. And being in Southern California, there's still a lot of people who are still leftover fans of the franchise in St. Louis. So there was one kid from Boston, and I walked up to him. I'm like, you know, you guys are winning this game. He's like, no, I don't think. I'm like, dude, trust me. And
you got this.
Yeah, we're best friends now.
Okay, Patriots fans are the worst. All right, so Gronk is going to be gone for 1 week, maybe more, or maybe none. But how much do you guys like Scott Chandler?
A lot.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I've already started making my Chandler puns for the Danger Zone
Good.
On Wednesday.
I like it.
Yeah, so I'm very excited.
You're ready.
I hope he gets at least one and gets a touchdown, and then he goes about his business.
All right. Can we stay in New England? Let's talk about Bellatrix real quick. Marcus, you're one of the authors of Bellatrix here.
Yep.
What do we make? Brandon Bolden, James White, LeGarrette Blount. What do we do, man?
Start Blount. I mean, he's the only one in that group that you can trust to get a plurality of the carries.
Ooh.
You like that?
I like that.
Because you just don't know. I mean, when it comes to Bolden or White or, you know, anybody else back there, you have no idea what they're going to do. But LeGarrette Blount, you know, is the primary running back. So he's the guy who's going to get most of the work on a weekly basis.
I know it's a little bit of a trap to try to figure out game plan ahead of time. But you got to think, right? Like, why would they just not pound the rock with LeGarrette Blount? Because Philadelphia, man.
They're terrible.
They are not good.
They are terrible.
And they can't stop the run.
They cannot.
They actually had for most of the season, and then Dougie Fresh went and dropped 230 on them.
Yeah.
And that was like the beginning of the end.
Oh, I know.
It seems. So, I don't know. If they don't, it's because they're the Patriots and they found a better matchup to exploit.
Right.
The FPA says that the play the receivers. Because the Eagles have allowed the most fantasy points to the wide receiver position.
Well, they're just getting torched everywhere.
But still. Like
all aspects.
Why do that? Like, I just feel like they want to shorten the game and they want to survive and keep as many people healthy as possible.
Right.
And really, if you looked at the game against the Broncos, the one thing that changed it towards the end was the line of scrimmage. And the Patriots were getting dominated on both sides of the ball, especially at the end of the game. So I expect them to try to get that handled. I want to see the injury report, see who's going to be starting on the offensive line for the Patriots. That might also give us a little bit of clue of what they're thinking.
It really was a heck of a win by Denver, by the way. I mean, I just felt like it was over. It was fourth quarter. Patriots up, what, 2 scores, 14 points, and you're like, ah, it's over. This baby's over.
Well, I think when, you know, the Broncos got
the fumble.
The fumble changed everything.
All right, let's go to Arizona. Warmer weather. CJ2K, fractured tibia, out indefinitely. Andre Ellington, turf toe. Which means, of their three-headed attack, it is now down to one head. David Johnson. I love David Johnson here. I absolutely love David
Johnson. I'm going
out
and trying to put in as many claims for David Johnson as I possibly can right now. That is what I'm doing as we talk.
What? I mean, the running back position, man, this year has just been absolutely ridiculous. But no, David Johnson out of Northern Iowa, we've seen what he can do. Very explosive athlete. Just an unbelievable athlete. He's big. He's strong. He can catch passes. He's extremely fast. I won't go into all the 40 times and all that, although I probably will at some point. But no, David Johnson he's the real deal, man. Wiz, I'd love to get your take on DJ.
I'm excited about his potential in this offense moving forward. And word to the listeners out there, I saw some Bruce Arians quotes in the media late last night.
Which are always entertaining. But.
Well, no, because it was him blowing smoke again. And people got real mad when Bruce was like, yeah, John Brown's going to start. But look, Bruce Arians and all NFL coaches lie.
His
quote this time was like, oh, David Johnson's not even close. He's behind Stephon Taylor and Marion Grice and all these guys.
Stephon Taylor, come on.
So
come
it's
on,
like,
bruh.
Okay, Bruce.
Is Kerwin Williams still there? So David Johnson, number four on the depth chart?
He's on the practice squad. What will probably happen is that Stephon Taylor will get a handful of carries as well.
No, but stop.
It will, because Bruce Arians loves his veterans. But, like, David Johnson's been in this offense the whole year.
Right.
We've seen what he can do. He will get plenty of touches, and he will, at worst.
Marion Grice is still on the roster?
No, he's in Detroit.
Oh, I thought.
But as I was just going on my Bruce Arians rant with all the other running backs he's had. But no, so like don't believe everything Bruce Arians says is gospel. He's an awesome coach. I would love
to
have a beer with the guy, but
no doubt.
Don't trust that. Trust what you've seen on the field and what he's actually done there.
Do you think he actually wears that hat out in public?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
I'm saying, is it a game day thing?
No, I'm sure if you saw Bruce Arians at like Ralph's
buying milk,
he's wearing that hat.
If you saw Bruce Arians at a local, you know, watering hole, he would have that hat on.
If I saw him at the Ralph's with a red hat like that, I would be very confused. I would think he works at the Ralph's.
At Christmas Eve service, he's probably still wearing that hat.
All right, so I think all of us are pretty high on David Johnson.
He was one of the top waiver wire pickups this week, for sure.
Jimmy Graham out for the season, torn kneecap. It's the same patellar tendon injury suffered by Victor Cruz.
It's a bad injury.
It's a really bad injury. If Akbar always says ACL is the new sprained ankle, which is...
So is patellar tendon the new ACL then?
Yeah, I know. Is the patellar tendon the new ACL? I don't know. It's a tough injury to come back from, man. At least from what we've seen of various athletes. So I feel for Jimmy Graham. I really do.
That's a tough one. He was starting to really exert his will against the Steelers and was starting to... You know, it takes a little bit of a time to get adjusted to a new offense.
Absolutely.
And he's asked to do a number of different things.
Absolutely.
And I was a little bit surprised that he had struggled so much.
Yeah.
That it was so hard to get him the ball.
They had him block way too much.
Yeah, that was...
He would watch Russell Wilson drop back to pass, and there would be 88 just hanging around to block people.
Yeah, that was... why would you get somebody like Jimmy Graham if all you wanted to do was have him block? That just seems ridiculous. That's like having a Porsche as a paperweight. You're like, what are you doing? And
right.
So it's disappointing. And again, if you're in this position of where you're going to need to pick up a tight end, I don't think that Luke Wilson is the guy who's the backup there, which is fine. I would probably still go after Chandler, at least for this.
Chandler would be first. Luke Wilson isn't a terrible look, though, because there was a period where he was the more productive receiver in the passing game anyways. So.
I'd probably just pass and just try to stream the other options.
Right.
Though,
you can stream options. I mean, he could be a streaming one depending on the matchup, too, but Chandler's the number one.
The kid out of Chicago, Zach Miller. If he's available on the waiver wire.
I'm assuming he's been long gone.
You think?
Well, Marty Bennett was out, and Miller's had a touchdown.
I was going to say, my league of record is heavily Chicago Bears.
I see. All right. No, I picked him up in a couple different leagues, but if he's out there, he's definitely worth a look. With Martellus Bennett playing, he's been seeing more snaps and a lot more targets as well. So I like the talent level.
He's the number two pass catcher on that team behind Alshon Jeffrey. So I would still,
ahead of Martellus Bennett?
Yeah, the way they've been using him and the way defenses kind of focus on Marty B, because Marcus Wilson is fine, but nobody's really – super concerned about him, at least as a scheme wise. So they've been looking at Marty B and kind of shutting him down. And Miller's been roaming free, and he's the guy that Cutler looks for near the goal line. And there's a lot of positives coming out. And especially that's the one thing with tight ends is there's a handful of guys that you can look at that are going to get you touchdowns and yards. But most of these guys.
Right, touchdown.
You want the guys who are touchdown.
All right, so Ahmad Bradshaw's on the IR. Gore's basically beat up, I think was the quote.
Beat to crap was the actual quote from Chuck Pagano.
Okay, great.
But he also followed up with he's a warrior. So
he is a warrior, Frank Gore. I don't know how he keeps doing it. It's amazing. But Ahmad Bradshaw on the IR, I didn't even realize he was that hurt.
Yeah, it was something with his wrist. I mean, he left the game with a wrist injury. We wasn't sure how severe it was, and then...
That's too bad.
It's unfortunate because he was starting to do some things for him, but
I agree.
He's always oft injured, as the expression goes. So, but Boom Heron puts him back on the fantasy radar because he did some good things for the Colts last year on limited touches when they were still devoted to giving the ball to Trent Richardson. And he'll be the new guy to spell Gore. And if Gore has to miss any time with the litany of injuries he's piling up, Boom Heron will be a definite running back too that week.
All right. Dolphins have parted ways with offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. I don't even know who steps in for Bill Lazor.
Their quarterback coach.
Is there a South Park reference we can make? No?
I don't know. PC principal just had to check Lazor's privilege, apparently.
So, what does it mean for Lamar Miller, who I think he got 5 carries in the last game, and his production has absolutely plummeted?
I think that is part of the story of why Lazor got the axe, is because Dan Campbell, when he came in, if you remember his first couple games, was a total 180 for the offense. They ran the ball a lot. They played better defense. They kind of controlled the clock because he was a former blocking tight end. That was his style. And then Lazor kept going away from that. The last 2 weeks, I think Lamar Miller had a grand total of 14 carries.
12, actually.
12. Sorry, I overshot it. And for a player as talented as Lamar Miller, like, that is ridiculous.
There have only been 2 games this year where Miller has had more than 15 carries.
It's insane.
That's it.
So I would think that Zach Taylor getting the promotion probably also got a nod from Dan Campbell to, like, hey, give the ball to
our
best player. Please.
Hey, bro, let's give the ball.
Although you do wonder, I mean, with him being the quarterback coach, does he try to, you know, prop up Ryan Tannehill a little bit more? You know, short, quick throws, get the ball to Jarvis Landry. I honestly don't know.
You know what,
I don't know what to expect.
I mean, you know what would also help Ryan Tannehill? Is a good running game. So
I really don't know.
I would think Lamar Miller bounces back after this. And then the rest of the offense should still be fine.
In Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger should be good to go. He put himself. You never see this. He put himself.
Good for Big Ben.
Absolutely, he put himself in the concussion protocol. He might not actually have a concussion, so he might not have a protocol to go through. So, Big Ben should be able to tough it out, and we'll see what happens there. Obviously, if he does miss time, which it doesn't sound like he will, Antonio Brown's stock would plummet. Mm-hmm. But if he's in there, Antonio Brown. Solid play.
Yeah, we just wanted to let people know, because there was a lot of panic going around on Twitter when all of a sudden it was like, hey, Landry Jones is warming up. What? But Ben should be good to go. So,
yeah, there you go. All right, Jeremy Hill, Tyler Eifert in Cincinnati, both okay after leaving the game with injuries. But obviously that's something that we're going to have to watch for on Twitter and online all week.
Yeah, Eifert had an MRI to see if there was any like structural damage in his neck, actually. I didn't realize it was that bad. There wasn't. So they might still hold him out as a precaution. I don't know. But for Tyler Eifert owners, myself, I have him in a lot of leagues.
Right.
If you were only rolling with one tight end post the bye, might be a good week to try and go get like Chandler, like we keep mentioning, or somebody else. Because at least for a couple weeks, if Eifert needs to heal, Chandler should be able to stop that gap for you.
I also wanted to say in tight end news, I know a lot of folks, I get a lot of questions about Richard Rodgers there in Green Bay. First of all, I love Rip Rodgers, but... I will say this. The fact that they've been utilizing Justin Perillo? Is that his name?
That
James Perillo? Jason
Justin
Perillo?
Justin Perillo.
Whatever. Justin Perillo. The fact they've been utilizing Justin Perillo a little bit more makes me really nervous about playing a guy like Richard Rodgers. It was cool to play Richard Rodgers when there was no other tight end targets to be had. But
I was starting Richard Rodgers before it was cool to start Richard Rodgers.
That was a little bit strange.
Complete, Cal Humble.
Richard Rodgers is funny. Bring up. Speaking of which, I think Andrew Corliss finally got activated from the pup as well for the Packers.
Yep.
So that is moving very quickly towards a tight end by committee, and Richard Rodgers, once fine, touchdown upside.
Right.
It's probably going to be going by the wayside.
Yeah.
What is quarterback struggling, so I would avoid?
you just had to chuck that in there.
What? I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not making up any statistics. I'm just saying what I'm watching on the field. Okay. Unless you saw.
It also doesn't help when he gets 14 yards off of 17 attempts to 2 of his receivers.
That helps.
That
it helps the Bears.
it certainly did.
All right, so there you go. I don't think there's anybody. Oh, Jeremy Maclin, Sammy Watkins. They have both busted out of their slump. I mean, holy cow. Where did this Sammy Watkins game come from?
Came from Sammy Watkins for playing in need of the ball more. That's
this is the second time in about a month that he's had at least 22 points in a game. So it's one of those situations where if you just beg enough, they're going to be like, all right, we'll throw you the ball.
And but it's so crazy, the boom or bust potential for Sammy Watkins. I, on a week-to-week basis, have no idea what to do with Sammy.
Yeah, it's really one of the – I have the same dilemma a lot of times where – and it always seems that the three guys who I have to fill out that final wide receiver position are Sammy Watkins, Tavon Austin, and Jordan Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it wrong all the time. Although, they all hit this week, so I know it wasn't bad this week. This is actually one where you're like, okay, well, I mean, you would have wanted Sammy Watkins, but you're
right.
Like, okay, whoever you started there was fine, which means – all three of those guys are going to tank this.
I'm in a league where I have Sammy Watkins, Jordan Matthews, and Brandon Cooks.
Fun.
Boom or bust city.
Yeah, you're home run or strikeout every week.
Odd.
Yeah, Watkins is going to be a lot more volatile. Jeremy Maclin had been real quiet since he had his concussion. His target share had dipped a lot, but it bounced back into a huge number this past week. And I think this is back to the Jeremy Maclin we saw pre-concussion, when over like a 3 or 4 game span, he owned like 33% of the passing game targets.
Can we take a moment to recognize that Jeremy Maclin caught a 41-yard touchdown pass, 36 of which went through the air?
Yeah, buddy!
That was amazing.
There you go, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith, not necessarily
you're all grown up
slinging
now.
It, but man, he put everything he had throwing that ball out there. But the thing with Jeremy Maclin, too, he's too talented. Like, at what point does talent overcome the system, overcome the quarterback? I mean, we talk about it with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, he's the clearest case, right?
It's when he gets the targets. That was why his production had dipped for the last couple of weeks, because he wasn't seeing the volume he needed.
Right.
This week he got fed like he had for a while. Like, I think it was starting in that game against Green Bay on Monday night.
Right.
And if you throw that many targets at a guy as talented as Jeremy Maclin, he's going to make plays.
I agree with that. And I know a lot of folks weren't, I guess, high on Jeremy Maclin. But, man, it's just when I watch that guy play, man, and when he touches the ball – he's electric. And whenever I see that, it's like, I got to get that guy on my team. Jeremy Maclin, I would hope he keeps getting fed. We'll see. Andy Reid offense, we're not exactly sure. All right, let's talk about fantasy trust falls. Do you think the following players?
So wait, real quick, for those that might not know what a trust fall is, this is where you might have done it at summer camp or something. Somebody stands up in front of a bunch of other people, and they'll hold out their arms.
Oh, there you go.
Supposed to, you know, trust that they will catch you.
Yes.
Also, if you want, I was searching for some maybe good sound effects for this. There are some very comical trust fall fail compilations.
Oh, I'm sure.
The best.
Oh, yeah.
The corporate ones are the best.
Corporate ones are good. And this is what they did this in Mean Girls, too, you might remember, where they had they're like, you know, everybody coming together moment. It was pretty funny in the movie.
The only problem with Mean Girls is I feel it's a good movie. I know it seems.
Don't go down.
Are you about to be smirched?
I feel
Mean Girls?
No, but
don't.
I feel guilty watching the movie.
Why?
I feel like a dirty old man.
If Amy Adams wasn't 30.
I know.
I would feel that. It's like
no, but that's the problem, right? It's like, okay,
Amy
there's
Adams isn't in that movie.
No, it's Rachel McAdams. McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. Somebody with Adams.
Something Adams.
Whatever.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. All the actresses in the movie are like 25 plus.
No, Lacey Charbet's got to be like 40. She's like Stacey Dash. She's been playing a teenager since the 90s.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But I feel guilty. I'm like, wait, am I a dirty old man? Wait a second.
You're just watching a good movie.
A little bit.
You're just watching a good movie. All right, so trust falls.
Anyway, yes, trust falls.
CJ Anderson, how do we feel?
I believe.
Can I go down Narrative Street? Didn't we see this last year?
I believe.
Narrative Street? No?
I mean.
I like him.
He is looking better. And we've been saying all year long that he's a better running back than Ronnie Hillman, despite what the numbers might have said. He's a better running back, and he looks healthy. He looks confident. They're giving him the ball. I believe. I'm in.
I think he does have the Steelers, though. Week 15. Which
are the
like
Steelers
little
paying you?
No, I'm just saying.
This podcast is brought to you by the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense.
There's nobody. I don't care for the Steelers. I feel like Mike Tomlin, when I watch him, he's the dude who hits on 19 at blackjack but still wins. Like, how is this guy winning? He does everything wrong. Like, oh, it just doesn't, and it just drives you crazy. And then he's cocky about it too.
As for Anderson, a big part of his struggles earlier in the season was he had a foot injury. Like, go figure, a foot injury saps a running back of his ability.
Sure,
he healed up over the bye, and he's looked great starting in that game against so many teams are having great games against the Packers. I keep mentioning on this podcast, but he looked great against the Packers in that game where both he and Hillman scored. So I absolutely trust C.J. Anderson. I was tweeting about him during the game, and a bunch of people were talking about how he's dropped in the league. If C.J. Anderson was dropped, go get him.
I would agree with that.
That's lunacy if somebody dropped him. It's funny because people always talk, I dropped that guy, but typically in leagues I play, and nobody dropped him. But if we want some real talk, he's playing well because the quarterback position was upgraded over the last couple of weeks. Brock Osweiler
actually has helped.
He plays under center, and that
literally
probably,
under center.
Under center.
Right.
And that helps his running game. It's such a small thing that you would think to the layperson, but it's really a huge thing because
it's hard to run out of shotgun, man.
It's also a big thing that's hurting DeMarco Murray too.
Right.
That he's not good in that offense. That read option stuff. He can't do it. He can't run when the quarterback's out of shotgun. He needs a quarterback who is dropping back underneath center. So for C.J. Anderson, as long as Brock Osweiler is the one, then C.J. Anderson will be getting it done.
I mean, you got to keep.
Ooh.
Whoa,
bam!
Whoa, really?
Wow, yeah. Thanks for stopping
just
by.
Just drop
the mic and walk
Holy
out. Thanks for coming
cow,
by,
pal.
That was Adam Rank.
But they're running the offense that they installed in the offseason. That's what they're doing. They were trying to figure out the offense with Peyton Manning. A shotgun.
Let's not forget they tried to run the offense with Peyton Manning at the start of the year and it went horribly wrong. Their offense was extremely inefficient.
Not good.
So that's why he
was inefficient.
No, actually, it was just Peyton Manning.
That was the entire offense.
Peyton Manning looked pretty bad.
Go back and look at everybody else.
He looked pretty bad.
Well, it starts with the quarterback, though. If the quarterback's not playing well, it's going to take everybody down.
Yes, but everybody was down. So the offense
because
was still
of the quarterback.
Both statements, they're not mutually exclusive. They're both true statements. All right, moving on.
But, no, I like C.J. Anderson moving forward. I really do.
All right, good. We all trust him. He'll catch us.
All right. How about Eddie Lacy, back-to-back 100-yard games?
He'll catch me all day. I trust him.
I mean, he just has to stand there, and then you just fall into him.
I trust him. Yeah, that's the thing. I trust him as a
What a soft
back.
Landing spot as well.
But I don't trust him because he might be holding a burrito. It might not be able to catch me.
If you're going to make a joke like that, at least say he'd be holding like a bratwurst or something.
What's wrong
with tie it to the region.
Like, make it regionally specific.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. Burritos are worldwide.
I'm not saying
they
aren't.
Not. They are not.
Well, then that's the world.
They are not.
That's the world's problem.
Like, burritos outside of California are terrible. They're awful.
What?
Like, you could go to, like, maybe, like, South Texas. All right, I give Texas a little bit of love. But even then, they prep their burritos weird, man. I'm not a fan.
Okay, I would have to say this.
Okay.
They're a little bit harder to find in some other places. Like, if you're in Chicago, it's not easy.
No, and they're gross.
Not always.
No, they are gross.
Not always.
That is not true. This is also coming from the guy who doesn't know the U.S.
Hey,
map.
I was going to say, could you find Chicago on a map?
No.
I'll answer that for you
James,
right now.
James, show us on the map where you had a bad burrito.
If you showed me a U.S. map right now, I could not point to you where Chicago is.
That's so disappointing.
I could point to the general region.
I love that this joke is...
The general region?
This is why Cal State Fullerton is the Harvard of the West
Coast. How
and not
dare
Cal.
You. How dare you.
All right, so Lacy, though, back to real football.
Yes, I trust him. I'm good. Again, same situation with C.J. Anderson. He's healthy. He's running well. He's back to being the guy who gets most of the carries. I'm on board.
I don't know. We'll see. I think this week will be the litmus test.
It will be a good one, but we will see on Thursday night. Thursday night football. Watch everybody.
Adam Rank, trust you? No. Yes. Yes. No.
Yeah, I was in.
Okay, you're on
Eddie Lacy. Yeah, and it's one of those things we talked about on the fantasy show on Monday, which alluded to something that Chris Collinsworth was talking about on Sunday night. Is some running backs just do better in bad
cold weather.
Weather,
right?
And I can just imagine as the weather gets colder and being on the defensive line and seeing Eddie Lacy running at you, you're like, oh, wow, I can't get off my block somehow.
Yeah.
Believe me, that was one of my moves in high school.
Some business decisions will be made.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill in Cincinnati. What do we make of his outlook as we go down the playoff stretch?
Guess who he plays down the stretch?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know it. But he does end with the Broncos.
Okay.
On week 16.
So you don't believe in Jeremy Hill?
You know what? I do. I do believe in him as a running back talent. But if you have depth and you're going to be able to play matchups, and I understand a lot of people will not be able to play matchups, but as an overall running back, I still have long felt that he's the best option. Hugh Jackson wants him to be the guy, which means a lot to me.
But like, how many times can Hugh Jackson be like, Jeremy, you need to get your act together?
He was fine this week.
I've read that story like six times this NFL season.
Hugh Jackson, Jeremy Hill story. I love
Jeremy Hill too. I was huge on him coming into this year. I was a little late to the train. Adam Rank was more of a firster there, but I have trust issues. I don't think he's going to catch me. I feel like I'm going to start him in the fantasy playoffs, and I'm going to get six carries for 32 yards.
I'll end up playing
and
him.
And that's very possible, by the way. Very possible.
I'll end up playing him in that championship week.
I feel like, you know, he will sort of catch you. Like, you know, your bum may get a little cold and muddy. But, you know, you won't fall all the way.
So it'll be like a partial fail.
Yeah, you know.
Where they catch like, most of you, but then, like, your head hits the ground.
Right. It's kind of like you fell faster than I thought you would, you know. But, you know, you don't have a concussion, so, you know, that.
You're good.
All right, well.
Jeremy Hill is very touchdown dependent. We've dubbed him on the podcast as Matt Asiata 2.0, unfortunately.
Oh,
wow. He's better than Matt Asiata.
Hey. Matt.
Hey. Who dubbed him that?
Don't put that on the podcast as a
Fine.
Whole.
Fine. I did. I did. All right? I did. Matt Asiata 2.0.
You just made me think of something, James, though, that I was having this discussion with Adam Harstead, a talented guy on Twitter. You should follow him. But Jeremy Hill, while he is touchdown dependent, he has gotten a lot of goal line carries. And if Tyler Eifert is injured for a little while, he was the only other great red zone threat on that team.
Ooh, A.J. Green, though.
A.J. Green is there, but that could mean they try to give the rock a few more times to their big back in that area instead of chucking it to Tyler Eifert. So
I don't mind that.
Something to think about if Tyler Eifert's out and you're debating whether or not to start Jeremy Hill, because while he is touchdown dependent, he is getting those goal line carries.
That's a great offense.
It's a
great offense to be touchdown dependent in.
Very true.
No doubt about it. How about Darren McFadden? What do we make of his production down the stretch?
The reason I put him in the next guy on this list is because no more Tony Romo.
True.
So,
but doesn't – you know, I always struggle with this, right? Because it's like no Tony Romo, but then he's going to be facing stacked boxes. Is he talented enough to beat that?
Well, he's got a great offensive line, and he's getting fed touches. That's why I'm putting him on here. Like, where do you guys trust him at this point? Do we think he's just going to be a – like 8 to 12 point yardage guy the rest of the way is like a low end RB2? What do we think?
He's square in my RB2 range. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you have him, I have no problems playing him. I just wouldn't expect high upside.
Yeah, that's the one. He's in that mix with Jeremy Hill and TJ Yeldon, and I think I have them all in a team too, where I'm like just trying to figure out who is going to be the guy and what's the matchup looking like. And you know, it comes to a point that it sometimes you're just going to have to throw out the matchup and be like, this is my running back. Like, NFL coaches seem to always get it wrong because they try to mix and match these running backs. I feel like for fantasy enthusiasts, you should just be the same way. Be like, I'm just going to pick one guy.
And just ride him.
And just ride him and hope for the best. And McFadden, behind that offensive line, being a number one running back and going on the shares and everything like that, that I would trust him.
I like it.
I think he's averaging something like some obscene number of touches a game, like 27 or something since he became the starting guy. So
the Cowboys have made it a point to where they're like, look, he might get hurt. We know his injury history, so we're going to run him 30 times a game.
Right.
We're going to take
– perfect.
Instead of trying to play that game where you're like, okay, we'll give him 15, we'll give this other guy 10 and this guy 5.
Right.
Like, look, we're going with Darren McFadden. As long as he stays healthy, great. If he gets hurt, fine. Next guy up, and let's run that.
Well, I also feel like, though, that was kind of a product of what happened. Because at the start of the year, everything they said in Dallas was that it was going to be a committee. But, you know, Lance Dunbar gets hurt. Joseph Randall, you know, does Joseph Randall and it's gone. Kristen Michael didn't happen. You know, Robert Turbin is whatever. So it's kind of been Darren McFadden is last man standing. I mean, he's the guy who's been there the whole time, and so he's kind of, I guess, by default earned all these touches.
Isn't it weird, too, that we've just totally written off Darren McFadden as a talent? I mean, it's so weird because, to me, I always felt like, okay, he's a talented dude. Yes, he has an injury history, but he was also playing with the Raiders. Like, at what point, if you're Darren McFadden, are you like, you know what, man? Like, I'm not really rushing back.
I'm not that healthy.
Right. I'm good, guys. I'm good.
He's still talented. He's just part of what made him so talented back in the day, too, was he had that home run speed.
Yeah, that burst.
Which he's lost a little bit of now, but he's still a good running back.
I agree. I don't know.
I guess we trust Darren McFadden.
I do. I would say, yeah.
That's great.
I think it's a low upside, though.
That is a great point, though, because he is very talented. He was a top five overall pick.
Right.
And I'm with you.
All right. Let's go. Todd Gurley, 30 yards. 30 yards. Not on one carry for the game. What do we make of Todd Gurley? The offense is bad.
You trust him because we keep talking about this with running backs. Everybody's hurt, and whoever is there and starting and getting a lot of carries, how do you go away from that guy? But because the Rams can't do anything else on offense, he's going to see like eight guys in the box every time he lines up, and
if not more.
Also, what hurts is that they've been getting behind early in a lot of these games, like the one to Chicago a couple of weeks ago, this last week to the Bengals. He only had 9 carries last week. He's the most talented player on that offense.
By far.
Only had 9 carries.
By far.
And 1 catch. that is concerning to me.
That is sad.
Especially because he has to face Arizona next. And I know he dropped like 150 or whatever on Arizona earlier, largely all in the fourth quarter. But he's got to face Arizona next, an emerging Detroit defense, a Tampa Bay defense that's been good against the run. And then he has to go into Seattle.
Ugh.
That's his next 4 games.
But does he play Pittsburgh?
Great point. He does not. I trust him.
There it is.
All right, Adam Rank. You love yourself some Todd Gurley.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Todd Gurley. I will say bad things about Jeff Fisher, and he just doesn't know how to run this offense. I don't believe in him as an NFL coach, and really this team is just in a lame duck situation almost to the point where I wish, like, you know what? I don't want Todd Gurley to be hurt for his first games as an L.A. Ram, so why don't you just leave him on the bench? Can you just do us a solid? I think that we should be able – the L.A. fans should be able to decide, like, hey, this is what we want you to do, since it's clear that you have no idea. And and really, Nick Foles being the quarterback is awful. The guy that this benefits the most is Tavon Austin, and I said this a couple of weeks ago that – because teams are so committed. Yeah, look at what Austin did this week. He is the guy who benefits if that team needs to adjust their game plan. And that's what they did last week. Everybody's in the box trying to stop Todd Gurley.
I see what you're saying.
All right, we'll find creative ways.
Right.
It's
single
funny.
Coverage.
They're finding creative ways to get the ball to Tavon Austin. It's like, hey, coach, why don't you figure out a way to get the Gurley? Like, I don't line him up at quarterback. I don't know what you got to do. Just make it happen.
Is this all a little bit overblown, though? Because Todd Gurley, even though he struggled last week, and obviously the offense is rough, and he's, you know, he hit his apex, what, about 5 weeks ago, and we've seen a decline in production ever since. But that being said, his apex was so high.
It was high, but his yardage totals have been dropping, too, which is what was his safety net before. And I think it's been direct correlation to the offense being so terrible these last few weeks.
This was the first time as a legitimate starter that he didn't have double digits.
Right.
Like, no,
but that's what I'm saying.
He had a great run, but he's been trending in the wrong direction because of the offense, not because he's any worse of a player.
Don't ever say that word again.
All right, let's talk about some wide receivers.
Let's do them quick because we're getting long here.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you know? When we talk about burritos, we can't get the podcast.
Burritos in 20 minutes.
Burritos, Peyton Manning and St. Louis FC.
That's your podcast.
Yeah.
That's Adam's wheelhouse. Dez Bryant, what do we think?
No trust.
No.
T.Y. Hilton, what do we think?
As long as they stick with Hasselbeck.
Trust? Or no trust?
You know what? There's something about T.Y. Hilton that I understand he's coming off a huge game, but he had gone a long stretch without having a touchdown, and he doesn't get 100 yards all that often. He's somebody who has a great name value, and people really seem to like him. I would have hoped that you could have dealt him a couple of weeks ago, but he's one of those guys you feel compelled to start because everybody talks up T.Y. Hilton. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah. But then typically you end up just
– I trust Dante Moncrief a lot more in that offense.
It's not crazy to say that.
I mean, T.Y. Hilton has kind of become one of those boomer bust guys. Either you're getting the, you know.
That's his skill set, though.
110 and two touchdowns, or you get 37 yards.
I mean, that is his skill set, though, is it not? Play on the outside. He's going to run that nine a little bit. And I think when I watch him run other routes, I'm not terribly impressed.
So you're calling him a rich man Torrey Smith?
No.
He's good.
No, I am not calling him that. No, he's much better than Torrey Smith. But no, T.Y. Hilton, to me, just given the size too, right? It's hard to, I guess, be that effective with that kind of size. But no, he's that home run guy. I do like him. I just wouldn't put him in as a wide receiver one category.
Right, well, here we were very trustworthy with the running backs and have been waiting to try and get this sound drop in for a little while. So after these last two trust issues we're having with Dez Bryant and T.Y. Hilton. Load,
dang it.
Choose. If I get an ad for a 3-second clip on YouTube, I'm gonna throw my phone across the
desk. We'll edit this out in post.
There it is.
There it is.
Quiet. That is the Wilhelm scream. That's us trying to have Dez Bryant and T.Y. Hilton catch us in fantasy.
Demaryius Thomas, what happened? So many drops.
He was inspired by Davante Adams on
I don't know. I don't know what to make of DT. I would think the talent is there, but, man, those drops have been bad.
I'm really down on him right now. The drops have been bad. Just watching him on Sunday night, not really – fight in a lot of situations for the football. Not
I was
back
just
to
about
football.
To say, does he not? He looks like he's not having any fun out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. Emmanuel Sanders is light years ahead of him at the moment.
I mean, agree.
Sanders is making plays. He looks fired up. Just Demaryius Thomas does not look like. We talked about Eric Decker maybe being a creation of Peyton Manning. I'm starting to wonder if maybe Demaryius Thomas wasn't a Peyton Manning creation.
Uh-oh. Although I will say, come on. I mean, he did produce a little bit with Tim Tebow, too.
DT was having a really inefficient start to the season, too, and I thought that was more of Peyton Manning. But then he came back and he made some great catches, but then he's been plagued by drops recently. So, I don't know. I have trust issues.
Yeah, me too. All right, Randall Cobb. What do we think?
Trust issues.
Trust. Huge trust issues.
Yeah.
Huge.
What?
What was that?
That was a Bears fan cackle.
I just enjoyed that.
Oh, wow. All right, let's talk about waiver wire ads. If Spencer Ware is available, I don't know why he would be.
Get him.
He was still only owned in like 30% of leagues.
Go get him.
He's got to be gone in most competitive leagues now. Come on. Yeah. Boom Heron, a wonderful ad. Love this one. Scott Chandler, we talked about. You got to add him.
Kyle Rudolph's an interesting streaming candidate.
This week. Seahawks.
He's playing the Seahawks at home, and I think he just set like back-to-back like catch career highs for himself in weeks or something like that, which is weird to think because he's been in the league for a while. But he had two good weeks, like 6 and 7 catches, and I think he'll be a solid play this week at home against the Seahawks.
And even like Heath Miller last week, I was big on Heath Miller last week, was actually starting to have a pretty nice game. Then he got injured and had to leave.
If you add up the Matt Spaeth, Jesse James, and Heath Miller catches,
it was a pretty good day.
It's a solid day.
Yeah. Not bad.
Stevie Johnson finally got into the end zone. He and Dontrell Inman, both good pickups for the Chargers wide receivers. Devontae Parker's an interesting name to circle. He got 10 targets after Rishard Matthews went out for the Dolphins.
I like it a lot.
He showed his explosiveness and his athleticism on his touchdown catch in garbage time, so he's somebody to circle as well.
You know, people say, oh, well, Dorial Green-Beckham hasn't done it. Well, look, dude, Dorial Green-Beckham is so raw. Yeah. Devontae Parker, professional receiver. He's just coming back from injury.
He's a little raw, too, still.
I honestly believe he's ready to go. I thought that had he been healthy – he would have come along like a Odell Beckham Jr. type.
I don't think that's close at all.
That offense at Louisville is very advanced. That was one of the reasons why Teddy Bridgewater was considered one of the best
quarterback prospects.
Yeah, the most NFL ready is because that offense is so intricate and so advanced.
But Devontae Parker made a lot of his plays just purely on his athleticism and stuff like that. And I know Harmon mentioned it when he did a reception perception on Rishard Matthews earlier, that early in the season, Devontae Parker looked like Bambi on ice out there. He was not running routes. He wasn't understanding
the
concepts.
I think it was a little bit, though, when you're hurt.
Could have been because of the injury and stuff, yeah, but he lost a lot of those reps that would have helped him. But either way, this point, good ad. And Doug Baldwin, been on a sneaky run with Jimmy Graham going down. He could see an uptick in targets.
Uh-huh. Just when you do that, it'll be the Jermaine. Here comes Jermaine Kearse.
Here comes Tyler Lockett.
Here comes
again.
Tyler Lockett. Jared Aberderis, is he coming back?
I thought he was still hurt.
He finally
practiced again this week, and given the disaster that is the Packers wide receiving core right now, he's a sneaky ad. He was having a good game before he got crushed and got injured. So he's somebody to take a look at.
I know everybody makes fun of the Niners offense, but Sean Drone's
getting touches, and
he is getting touches, man.
With Blaine Gabbert, they look functional. They're a functional offense with Blaine Gabbert.
It doesn't make any sense.
Sean Drone's got to get into the end zone one of these days.
You would figure.
Tough matchup this week for them, though.
Who do they got?
Playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, though.
They're not playing the Steelers. They're playing the Bears.
Oh.
There you go.
Look at what the Bears did to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right. So, Sean Drone.
So, you're saying that Blaine Gabbert has a chance to prove he's better than Aaron Rodgers? Is that what you're saying?
That's a different podcast. Let's dap and get out of here.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hugs. Give me daps because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up daps about daps. Daps.
All right, Daily Dap time on this beautiful Tie Tuesday. By the way, I've seen a few tweets now with folks wearing their ties on this Tie Tuesday. Of course, you get the favorite and the retweet immediately on Twitter from the Fantasy Live guys here. But on this Tie Tuesday, and again, we're trying to promote this on this podcast, right? We want you to go to work dressed well, at least on Tuesday. Every other day you could be a slob. Break out your finest ties on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Be professional. Except for myself, which I didn't come into time.
How dare you?
I know. I never do. I don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing here. Daily Dap time. Adam Reich, are you ready for this?
Do you want me to go first?
You don't have to. We'll go to Marcus first if you want. Let's go to Marcus first. MG, hit me.
My Daily Dap goes out to Maurice Jones-Drew.
Okay.
MJD last week, I'm sure, you know, anybody who knows that he is a UCLA alum. And he is the biggest UCLA honk maybe that I've ever met. And he spent all of last week, because there is a large USC contingent that works here at NFL Media, and he basically was making wagers with pretty much every USC person he could find in the building. Of course, the Trojans prevailed, a big win, 40-21 over the Bruins, ending a three-game losing streak to our hated rivals and getting ourselves to the Pac-12 championship game where we have to play Christian McCaffrey. Good luck with that.
Uh-oh.
But you know what? Props to MJD because you know he had to wear it on Sunday,
literally,
and figuratively. He wore my my number 9 USC jersey
all day.
Wore it on the game day blitz on the white couch of truth. He had to hear from it on camera from a bunch of USC alums at work here, and you know he took it all in stride and all with good humor. So props to him for that.
Who's number 9?
Well, at the time it was Marquise Lee. It is currently Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ah, well, that's pretty good.
There you go.
the thing about MJD that people don't know, he rolls through and talks so much trash. Oh, my gosh. It's trash talk incessantly with Maurice Jones-Drew. Adam Reich, you know.
He always feels like he knows everything.
About everything. Doesn't matter.
And like yesterday, he was like, yeah, North Turner's going to be USC's offensive coordinator. And I'm like, yeah, I guarantee you that's not going to happen. I can't wait because MJD and I are on the Madden NFL Live show.
Great show. Check it out.
Thank you. And he thinks he can beat everybody. And there's professional gamers, and there's a guy named Problem. And MJD's like, I want to play him. I'm like, this guy, Problem. And if anybody's into gaming, they know who this guy is. But he's the greatest player. And I'm like, MJD, this guy is going to beat you by 60. And you're lucky because Scott Cole, who is our Madden master on the show, takes it easy on MJD and tries to make good, compelling television. I'm like, these guys would beat you by 100. But everybody's cool. I can't wait. I want him to get it. It's one of those things that – it's kind of a movie trope where it's like you just can't wait for him to get his comeuppance. So when he loses, like I'm not necessarily a USC fan, but to have to see him wear a USC shirt was very satisfying.
Also, he did talk a lot of trash in the Fantasy Life Fantasy League, and
I believe he has the worst record.
I don't think he's going to make the playoffs.
Oh, he's definitely not.
Although
he destroyed me this week, and he let me know about it.
There's that.
You know what his game was? Fabiano told me it was PPR. I'm like, nobody ever told you.
No one ever said that.
Nobody ever said it was PPR.
And by the way.
He actually drafted well, thinking like that's the like that was a good draft. You actually did well. You just can't pick the right guys.
Rank, what's your dap?
My daps are multiple. Number one, I know. I know we have some fun at Tony Romo's expense.
Yes.
And but in times like this, I think it's fair to point out that the brownie cupcake is actually very cool. And I know he's
the
in
crownie.
The crownie. That's an amazing thing. And I think that people are deriding it because it's Tony Romo. But that's an awesome invention. And the wife, Rosie McGee, made a couple. Fantastic.
Yeah, I was actually – it's funny you mentioned that because the last time that commercial came on, I actually, instead of watching him with his goofy haircut, I looked at the crownie and I'm like, that looks kind of
nice. Don't put frosting on it, but it's pretty amazing. Continuing, I would like to give a dap to Ford, the Ford Motor Company, who has started the assembly line back on December 1st, if you're listening to this on December 1st, back in 1913, which helped revolutionize the automobile industry.
Wow.
I'm not giving it to the company because there's a lot of things that are not great about
history
that.
Podcast today.
But I would like to give a shout-out to or a dap to the kid who I retweeted earlier this today about a Browns fan who was watching the game last night and ripped
that
his Browns jersey like Hulk Hogan ripping his T-shirt, and it's an Alex Mack jersey. It's an offensive lineman's, or maybe it's a defensive player. I don't know.
I believe it's Barkevious Mingo.
That's who it is. Yeah, you're right.
Barkevious Mingo jersey.
But it's like, how expensive is that jersey that you're doing that? And number, you have three wins, and you're going against a team that has two. So pump the brakes a little bit, and then my final dap goes to Paul Heyman, who once again on Monday tweeted out the Brock Osweiler Danger Zone video.
Wow.
And gave a little shout to the WWE, me, and the NFL, which is very cool. Like, I was a Attitude Era kid and loved the ECW.
Yeah.
So the fact that if he would have just liked it the first time, over the moon, but he's been retweeting it, and so very
beautiful.
Nice of him.
By the way, sorry to whoever was playing the drinking game for wrestling references, because
it's over.
Came back a little bit during the show.
It's over now.
We're sobering up, and then there it was.
Boom.
Stevie Richards, Raven, Scotty Polo, Adam Rose, Kurt Hennig.
What? Okay. All right.
That's it.
Okay. You dropped a Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect reference.
I just bought a Mr. Perfect T-shirt that will be making its debut on Madden NFL Live at some point in the future.
Alex Gelhart, Taylor Dapp.
I'm going to dap a movie I didn't get to dap because we weren't doing the podcast at the time, but did you guys see Kingsman when
yes,
it came out in the
of course.
Theater?
Yes, of course.
I loved it when it was in the theater, and I just got it for Blu-ray.
Horrible opening scene,
my
but
birthday.
Solid movie.
No, the opening scene is fine. But it has to set everything up. But overall, great movie. I was rewatching it again last night while I was doing some other stuff. And it's just such a well-made, fun movie. And if you haven't checked it out yet, go pick it up, Redbox or whatever. You will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I
it really
agree
is.
With that. I thought you were going to give a daily dap to the music that you were listening to.
Oh, that too. I mean, James and I, before the podcast, went down a wormhole for the group Pentatonix. They're an a cappella group that won the what was it? America's Got Talent or the Sing-Off? The Sing-Off they won, I think,
okay.
Right?
I'm
and
sure.
But
I know they're good.
They're very good. They have a fantastic Christmas album. I was listening to it while I was waiting for the guys to come in for the podcast. But James and I found out that one of their guys is apparently a musical savant because he played piano,
the beatbox
cello.
Guy, the beatbox guy,
yeah, the beatbox guy. His name's KO. He went to Yale. He did some intensive summer courses at Harvard. The guy was amazing, but the band is extremely talented, and if you like Christmas music, check out their album. I think it's called That's Christmas to Me.
Pentatonix, a good one. I like that. I will give a couple. I'll give a daily dap to Cal, my Golden Bears, with a dramatic come-from-behind victory that I was not able to watch. Because
you were able to watch it.
No,
you
wasn't.
Chose
I got
to.
No, I got it. No. I got into a disagreement with my wife, and the television had to be turned off, and I missed the entire fourth quarter comeback.
Oh.
And that's exactly what happened. That is what happened.
This
I found
is why
out
the expression happy wife, happy life exists.
She's also a UCLA alum, right?
So she is a UCLA. Oh, dude, she
oh,
was.
That's
oh, she was. See, that's the thing. She was just, I mean, she was just on one because USC just destroyed UCLA. So she was already bitter about that. And then, of course, we're halfway through the game, and she wants to have some kind of serious conversation about some nonsense. And I'm like, come on, man.
This is why you didn't get to watch the fourth quarter. That right there.
James, as your friends, we're going to stop you right now. What's your
come
next
on,
step?
Bro.
What's your next step?
I mean, was, why are we having this convo at the third quarter? It's That's not
you just
cool.
Agree. You're like, yep, you're right.
No, I know. No, listen, she is a beautiful, wonderful Korean woman. And as a result, she's also insane. and she will not take that. She knows when I'm trying to placate her. And that pisses her off even more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Anyways, I missed that victory. One of the best victories of the year for Cal. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'll give another daily dap to, I know this has been out for a while, but McBain, the movie. I guess they did a supercut of the entire movie, and they put it on YouTube. It's been out for a while. I know that. But I never realized...
Starring Rainier Wolfcastle.
Right. I never realized that it was an actual, like, single piece, like a continuing storyline.
Yeah.
The Simpsons, when they showed all the different clips from the different shows, and it had spanned years, right?
Yes.
But it's an actual, like...
Film.
It's a 5-minute film. You should go look it up. It's
awesome.
It's awesome and horrible, but it's great.
Of course.
I can't believe the writers actually stuck with it for that long. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. And so somebody did a supercut of McBain, the movie. It's on YouTube. And you'll, of course, go down a giant Simpsons wormhole
as
well. But
our greatest filmmakers are doing stuff like that.
It's great.
Like
it's wonderful.
The next Scorsese or something is making
is on YouTube right now.
He's not making movies anymore.
No, right, exactly. All right, well, that's going to do it for us.
Yes,
a little longer podcast, but of course that's because Adam Rank is here.
How
but hey,
dare you?
That's right, for Adam Rank, Marcus Grant, MG, and the WizKid from Wisconsin, Alex Kalehar. I'm James Coe. We're out. We'll see you Friday.